As always happens, part of my sermon's been preached already. That happens week after week. But praise God, it gives us confirmation, right? That God is speaking to everyone, that he's moving, that he's alive, that he has a message for us, a specific message for us when it starts coming from here, there, and everywhere. As I shared earlier, tonight I wanted to talk about open heavens, and I may have you sing that last song again after. When I was a little girl, there were certain things I had in my mind that I thought were really, really true. One of them was I was pretty sure I could fly. I had like a feeling or a memory of flying, and I was pretty sure I could fly, that I was meant to fly, that I had flown. I don't mean in a plane. I mean that I could fly. And when I used to be, I'm glad the kids are out of the room, disobedient and jump on the bed, I was pretty sure I stayed up longer than usual when I was jumping on the bed, because I was pretty convinced that I could fly. Well, I had an experience the last time I was in the hospital in March, I guess it was. And let me just say, I can fly. I can fly. I had an experience, a heavenly experience, and I was flying. I'll tell the whole story someday. The other thing I was really convinced about when I was a kid was sunbeams. You know how rays of light come out from clouds and they just like beam down? I was convinced that God was going up and down on those sunbeams. And anytime I would see one, I thought some sort of a transaction between heaven and earth was taking place. I was convinced of it as this little girl. And I used to tell my parents all the time, either God has come down to talk to someone, or a baby's being born, or someone is dying. But whenever I saw those sunbeams, I thought some sort of a transaction was taking place between heaven and earth. And I think I was right. Not necessarily just on a sunbeam, but I think there are transactions taking place all the time between heaven and earth. We experience some tonight. And I got thinking recently about open heavens. We talk about open heavens, and we want to have an open heaven, and we pray about it, and Bill Johnson's just written a new book called Open Heavens, and there's a conference called Open Heavens, and all of that is going on in this season. And I got thinking about it the other day. Actually, I was spurred to think about it the other day when I saw sunbeams coming out from a cloud. And I had my childhood remembrance of some divine transaction is taking place. And I got thinking about it, and I thought, you know, we pray all the time for an open heaven, but I'm beginning to believe, I do believe, I'm not beginning to believe, I do believe that we are meant to live under an open heaven. As children of God and as believers, it's not something that is meant to come and go. For us as children of God, I believe we are meant to live under an open heaven. We know that all things are being restored, right, back to how they were with living with God on earth in his presence, his literal presence. Now, Eden was not heaven. It was on earth. But God literally came to that place, and there were transactions that happened. It wasn't heaven. It was earth. But there was an open heaven because the Lord came and went. And I believe they had, Adam and Eve had supernatural downloads. They had no sin yet. The air was pure. They were pure. And so I believe, I mean, Adam had the knowledge to name all of the animals. That's a supernatural thing, a transaction between he and God. And I believe that if God is restoring all things, he's restoring our understanding that it is possible for us as believers to live under an open heaven. There is this Bill Johnson quote that says at the beginning of his book, which I haven't read, but it's in my house at the bottom of a pile of many, many books, but I read this one quote that says, "The open heaven is where God's perfect world of beauty, order, and purpose fills this one so completely that it resembles heaven in eternity, even though we're still here in time." That heaven fills this earth, even though we're still in time. Such hope is not a lofty or baseless, "I wish it would happen." It's meant to be part of our reality today, that we live under an open heaven. I want to read you three scriptures, parts of them. We're going to return to a couple of them very quickly. The first one is this, in Isaiah 64, verse 1, it says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." We're going to go back to that in a little bit. But Isaiah 64, verse 1, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." And then in Mark 1:10, this is referring to Jesus' baptism. It says, "And when he," Jesus, "came up out of the water at once, John saw the heavens torn open and the Holy Spirit like a dove coming down to enter him." And John says never to depart. In Matthew 27, let's just take a quick peek at that. This is when Jesus died. Starting in verse 50, it says, "And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went to the holy city and appeared to many people." Now, these seem like three kind of random scriptures, but there's a link here. And it's the word rend or tear. Because that word is used in all three of these scriptures. And the word rend, and I've fallen back in definitions, so I figured I better put one in tonight. Rend, in both the 1828 and in the concordance, means the same thing. It means to separate with force, to divide, or sudden violence, to tear asunder, to split, like splitting rocks. To separate or part with violence, to tear asunder. So we're not talking about the heavens opened like a Disney movie. It meant the heavens opened, were rent open with violence. That it was an act of God saying, "I am going to earth and I am going to rend the heavens open to do it, to tear them asunder." Now, the fact that these are like violent terms, when you think about tearing something asunder, it's not, again, just like rip or opening your blinds in the morning. It is tearing something apart. And the violent terms indicate that there's some resistance to this happening. We've all been experiencing a little bit of resistance these days. Nonetheless, it will not keep God from tearing and rending the heavens and coming down. He's coming down, and if we understand the principle of there being three heavens, we living in the first heaven, all that we can see under the sky that we see, God being in the second heaven, where heaven is and his throne is, and then in the second heaven, being where Lucifer and the hosts of hell dwell. And so for God to come down, he comes from the third heaven to the first heaven, but through the second heaven. Here's where the rending and the tearing asunder comes. Because guess what? Satan does not want God to come to earth. He does not want his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. He does not. And so there's this violent rending that happens, but God, as I've said now for the third time, is a thousand. And the biggest in the second heaven is a 15. Thank you, Mason. Let's look a little bit more at Isaiah 64. Starting in verse 1 again, it says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, and that you would come down, and that mountains might quake and flow down at your presence, as when fire kindles the brushwood, and fire causes the waters to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did terrible things which we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence to make your name known to your adversaries." God has purposed in his heart, I'm going down. And on his way through the second heaven, he is making his name known to every one of our enemies. He is declaring who he is, and in doing that, he is declaring who they are as well. And there is nothing in that second heaven that will hinder him from coming when he determines to come. From opening heaven when he determines to open heaven. There is nothing in the arsenal of hell that can stop Almighty God. There is nothing that can do that. He may hinder. If you remember Daniel's prayer, got held up for 21 days, right? And Michael went and wrestled with the prince of Persia to answer the prayer. There may be hindrances, but the enemy cannot stop God from accomplishing that which he has determined he will do in our midst, on earth, right now. He cannot. We live our lives so often reacting to Satan rather than responding to God. As I've said, God and Satan are not in a war. That war has been won. It's us that's hit in the warfare. But I want to not just react to every trick of Satan, that everything he does, I'm going to be upset or wonder what in the world's happening or where is God, because I want to be able to respond to God and say, God, you are capable of rending heaven and coming down into this situation, and you will. Because it's who you said you are. If you know the promises of God, the general promises, but also those things he has spoken as individuals to you that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt are from God. Respond to that. And as Dale said in his communion message, he has given us authority to say, not today, Satan. Bonnie Rickman has that bumper sticker on the back of her car. Not today, Satan, not today. We should say that every day. Not today. Not any day. I want to respond to the promises, the love, the power, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray deliverance for people, heaven opens up. And the power of God comes crashing through to set people free. And if you've ever had deliverance, you know that's true. Nothing hinders the Lord from setting us free when he comes to do just that thing. How do the heavens open? How can we experience that? What needs to change in our thinking? What needs to come into our understanding so that we can live in a way that we believe that? That we don't just say, yeah, amen, Sister Lisa, that's great, and then forget it. No, we need to live it every day. The first thing I believe is prayer, just like Isaiah 64 said, oh Lord, rend the heavens and come down. To make that declaration, God, I'm praying, I am earnestly praying that you will break open the heaven and come into this situation, whatever it is. That testimony. It doesn't have to be a big or a lofty prayer. It doesn't have to be a wordy prayer. It can be what Jessica prayed in her hospital room. God help me. And heavens opened and God came down and healed her. There were hundreds and hundreds of people praying for Alan. The heavens opened and came down into the intensive care unit at Strong Hospital. Because of prayer. The heavens were rent. Satan was pushed aside and healing came. And he has done it. He will do it again. He will continue to do it because that is his heart. And we need to pray, God, come down. Open the heavens and come down. In Matthew 6:10, when the disciples said, teach us how to pray, and he said, pray this, let my kingdom come and my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that every day. Lord, in my life, let your kingdom come and your will be done. When I first moved to McNaughton Street, the Lord gave me an assignment, a street that runs perpendicular to mine called Otis Street. And we first moved to that neighborhood 26 years ago. And I used to drive down Otis Street to cut off Lyle Avenue to go to work. And I would very often have to stop because drug deals were happening in the middle of the street. And you didn't, like, dare look up or beep your horn or because you could get shot, probably. And the Lord said, I want this street is your assignment. I want you to start praying that my kingdom will come and my will be done on Otis Street. Now, I am not foolish enough to think I'm the only one that was given that assignment. But in these 26 years, I have seen thing after thing after thing. There were two little stores on corners that pretended to be stores, but weren't really stores because there was activity going on in there that it was more than bread and milk that was being sold. So I started praying, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Come to Otis Street. First one of the stores closed. It's now a vacant lot. They tore the whole thing down. It's a beautiful grassy area. The second closed. The police officers started doing jump out arrests on Otis Street. If you've never seen one, I saw one time on my way down Otis Street where a ton of police cars just dash into an area. They jump out and just arrest everybody that they see and sort it out later. Now, it seems harsh and kind of overwhelming, but there were no more drug deals being carried on in the street. There were not. My grandson, Mason, you know, his bubbles. There were some practices of Santeria that began to happen in Rochester a few years back. And one of them, which is a Hispanic occult thing, and that somebody had found a goat head on the railroad tracks on Oda Street. And I'm like, hey, that's my territory. Get out of there. And I started praying against, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on those railroad tracks. And one day I was driving down Oda Street with Mason in the back seat, and he's like, Grandma, Grandma, the bubbles, they're shooting each other. They're on the railroad tracks, and they're shooting each other. And what I had also prayed is that God would bring confusion into the enemy's camp, so what he saw were demons destroying each other. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Santeria is not allowed in heaven. It is not any longer allowed on Oda Street either. And as I said, it would be foolish of me to think I was the only one praying, but prayer changed Oda Street. It will rend the heavens and call God down. In the last days of my husband's life, he didn't sleep very well. And I would get up in the morning and say, how'd you sleep, dear? And he's like, I didn't. It was great. I prayed all night. And he would be so excited that he prayed. And he prayed for hours and hours and hours. And I tell people all the time, I would wake up because I slept close to him. And I would wake up and hear him praying, and I could see faces floating around my living room because he would be praying so earnestly all night long. And some of the faces were yours. Some of you who are here, he prayed for you. And I know, and it's been confirmed by others, he broke open some sort of a portal over my house. That supernatural things started happening. Healings, angelic appearances, all kinds of supernatural things started happening and still do over my house. And I believe it was because his prayer helped punch a hole and God rent the heavens and came down. The other thing we need to do is be obedient. In Malachi 3:10, it's talking about tithing and bringing your offerings into the storehouse and so forth. But it says, if you do that, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. Obedience rends the heavens. Jesus, and we read in Mark, agreed to be baptized. And John had the baptism of repentance. Jesus had nothing to repent of. He was sinless. But he obeyed God. When Father said, I want you to be baptized, even though he had no need of the baptism of repentance, he did that. And his obedience caused the heavens to be rent open. John saw it. He looked up and saw, we read it, right? And John saw the heavens being torn open because of Jesus' obedience. What about Mary? Gabriel appears to her, gives her this amazing story of what's going to happen in her life. And she has some questions, as we all would. It's not wrong to question God. But she didn't do it with a bad attitude. She's just like, I don't really understand how I can not know a man and get, I just don't understand that. But the end of it was, she said, be it unto me according to your will. And I believe at that moment when she spoke those words, the heavens were rent open. The Holy Spirit hovered over her, and Jesus was conceived. The heavens will open as we are obedient to the things God asks us to. What about the disciples when Jesus said, I've got a mission for you. There's things for you to do, but wait. I want you to wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And they did. And the heavens opened over them. Let's turn to Exodus 19. There's a couple things in here. I believe one way to see the heavens open is sanctification and repentance and living holy lives. In verse 16. Well, before that, let me just see. God instructs Moses to tell the people to sanctify themselves because he's going to come down. And so they do that. They sanctify themselves. And in verse 14, it says, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified them or set them apart for God, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready. By the day after tomorrow, don't go near a woman. So the third morning, there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people from the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, for the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like that of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And as the trumpet blast grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with a voice. You know, we judge them for stepping back, but really, this was some violent rending. The mountains were shaking. And we read that in Isaiah, didn't we? Oh, Lord, will you rend the heavens and come down and shake the mountain again? So be aware. With the open heavens, there comes a shaking. And we're in a season where I believe God is shaking everything that's shakable in our lives. He's getting rid of the stuff that doesn't matter anymore, so that the stuff that remains will be of eternal value. There also was a sound. There was a trumpet blast. There was lightning. There was thunder. Worship will also open heaven. There is a sound that he has given us to rend open the heaven. It was that sound, that trumpet blast, rended open the heaven, tore it asunder. I was thinking about the communion message that Valerie had a couple weeks ago with the fan. If you weren't here, where she snapped the fan open and snapped it. There is a sound that will open heaven. There is a sound of worship that will open heaven. We've experienced it here. Hopefully, you experience it in your own home as well. Because worship is not meant to be an event. It's meant to be a lifestyle. Right? And do you want the heavens to open and God to come down in your home? I do. And so these things need to take place in your home. Not just here. We need to expect that God will rend the heavens and come down wherever we are. Wherever we are. I won't go into details right now, but last Sunday, the heavens were rent open, and God came down into a bar on Monroe Avenue. I was there. And it happened. I said it. Because God sent me. Because God sent me. Not because I just decided I'm having a ministry here. God sent me. And there's the key. God sent me. Stay tuned. As we faithfully do these things, the veil is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. It's becoming easier and easier and easier to see the heavens open. I may have shared, I know I've shared with some of you, if you come to my home meeting, I know you've heard it, that this year I got up one morning and all of a sudden I went into the living room and there was lace hanging from the ceiling of my living room. And I'm like, this is different. And I walked away and came back and sure enough there it was, still lace. And I'm like, Lord, what is this? Lace hanging from the ceiling of my living room. And he said, it's because the veil is getting thinner. That you're going to be able to see more clearly. It's not a curtain anymore. It's like looking through lace. That's not just for me. That's not just for me. And I still see it. I don't see it all the time, but I do see it. Lace hanging with a reminder. The veil is getting thinner. It's going to become easier and easier to see and to have these transactions between heaven and earth because the veil's getting thinner. What are some things that happen under an open heaven? In Revelation 4, verse 1, let's just look at that. This is John, obviously. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard addressing me like the calling of a war trumpet, there's that sound again, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future. It's a two-way deal. Just like on my sunbeam. God was coming down, we were going up. There's a door standing open in heaven. Have you heard the Lord say, come up here. Come up here with me. I want to show you some things. I believe that's going to happen more and more often. Doesn't your heart long for that? Don't you wish God would say to you, a voice like a trumpet, that sound that rends the heavens, comes to you and he's like, come up here. I want to show you some things. So not only is it a two-way street, he wants to show us some things through this open heaven. And in Hebrews 4:16, it says, come boldly before the throne room of grace. And the Amplified, it says, fearlessly, confidently, and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. It's a two-way street. Come. He's saying, come. Come into the heavenly places because I want to show you some things. We receive revelation under an open heaven and our perceptions become clearer. We see sometimes future events, things that are about to happen, warnings. I have had warnings in the past that I have heard from God before something happens in a transaction. The kingship and the lordship of Jesus is made known. If you go in verse 2 of chapter 4, it says, and at once I came under the Holy Spirit's power, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. The Lord wants us to see and understand his lordship more than ever before. He wants us to show us his glory, the kingship and the lordship. What about in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was being stoned, the first martyr, and it says he looked up and the heavens parted and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He saw the heavens rent open. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. The Lord wants us to have open heaven so we know who he is. Not who we think he is. Not who the devil tells us he is. Not what the spirit of religion says he is, but who he is in reality. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He wants us to have new revelation with an open heaven. Think about Peter in Acts 10. He had fallen into a sleep and all of a sudden the sheet appears. The heaven is rent open again. He sees the heavens part and a sheet comes down with all of this taboo food on it. And God says, you can eat it all. An open heaven will bring us into a new understanding for every season. For everything we're against, even if it's not what we usually do. Because what we usually do is being knocked down, going with that spirit of religion that we've been fighting against for all this time. That new revelation, new understanding. It wasn't just we can eat these foods, it's like Gentiles will be saved. That was the revelation. New understanding of God's heart for people, who they are, how God sees them, his love for them. In Genesis 28:12, Jacob falls into a trance, falls asleep, and he has a dream, and he sees a ladder going from earth into heaven. And he sees angels ascending and descending. This was a dream, but it was a picture of heaven coming to earth. When we have an open heaven, angels ascend and descend. And we know that we are seeing and feeling and sensing the angelic more than ever before. We have sensed and seen it here. In your home, some of you have had angelic activity going on that you're more aware of. God is sending his heavenly host, battling their way through the second heaven to assist us. It's their job, is to minister to his children. And an open heaven allows that to happen, the angelic to ascend and descend upon us. It brings with it the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, which is what we need. We need big time the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that he's called us to do, to be able to fight the fights he's called us to fight, just to live life in this culture. We need the empowerment. So at Jesus' baptism, the heavens were rent. And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and never left him, which was the beginning of a new era. The Holy Spirit was not going to come and go off people like a yo-yo any longer. He was going to be the indwelling presence of the Lord forever within us. Praise God. And he will continually overflow in us. And refill us, and refill us, and refill us. And at Pentecost, you don't think the heavens were rent open for that one? I bet they were. Not only for the disciples that were the 120 in the upper room, but for the thousands that got saved that day. Because there will be a ripple effect of the open heaven in your life. To reach and touch the lives of all of those around you. It's not just for you to have a goosebump experience. It is so that you can be more effective in the kingdom of God. so that you can do the things that are set before you in power. Gifts will flow. Signs and wonders will come, and we're beginning to see that happen, and we want more. And it will come as we become more aware there is an open heaven, and we live under it. There will be transformation. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. So Jesus is with Peter, James, and John in verse 28. It says, now about the 8 days after these teachings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance became altered and different, and his raiment became dazzling white, flashing with the brilliance of lightning. And behold, two were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in splendor and majesty and brightness and were speaking of his exit from life, which he was about to bring to realization in Jerusalem. And Peter woke up. They had dozed off. I don't know how they keep doing that, but they do. And he wakes up and he's like, whoa, 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 what's happening here? Heaven opened up and changed Jesus' appearance into that of, I believe, his glorious body, his resurrected body before he had died. And then here's Moses and Elijah. When the heavens open up, we can at times enter into realms where we're outside of time. When we have supernatural experiences that do not bound us to the things of this world any longer. When Jesus died and people came out of their graves and started wandering around, that's outside the realm of the boundaries of this earth. But an open heaven will take us outside the realm of the boundaries of this earth. That's how Alan, while he was in a coma, heard my last sermon before it was preached. Because I believe he had been taken out of this realm into some other realm for a season where there was no time. I don't understand it all. I'm not going to try and say I do, but I believe it. Because we're going to start seeing things that are outside our natural understanding. Things that we've never seen before. Moses and Elijah showing up. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen before this is all over with under an open heaven? Also, I believe our identity as children of God is reinforced under an open heaven. The enemy works really hard to try and tell us who we are and who we're not. It is a constant battle for some of us to believe the truth about who we are and who we're not. But we have two examples, one at Jesus' baptism and one at this Mount of Transfiguration, where Father opens heaven and comes down and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Our identity becomes realer to us under an open heaven. Who it is we are. Who God says we are. That's the only thing that really matters. Is who God says we are. And do you know what I love about the first example of Jesus at his baptism? He had done nothing yet. I mean, he'd been a boy. He'd been a good boy. He'd obeyed his parents. He'd obeyed God. He had come to this baptism. But there were no huge ta-da moments yet. But he was still loved and cherished by his Father nonetheless. God loves the birds whether they sing or not. I saw that one time. He loves you whether you're performing or not. He calls you his child whether you're having the best of days or the worst of days. It doesn't change. And living under an open heaven and seeing his face and feeling his love enforces that truth in our lives. We will always reflect the nature of the world we're most aware of. That's part of why I stopped listening to the news. We're spending much time online or looking at that stuff because you know what? You marinate yourself in that. That's what you're going to reflect. We will always reflect the nature of the world we're most aware of. I want to be most aware of the kingdom of God. And I want that to be the reflection of my life. And I want that to be the reflection of all of your lives. The people will say of us, there's just something different about them. What is it? How can they have peace in these unsettling times? How can they have joy when everything's crumbling around them? That was one of the things my husband used to say. The last few months of his life, he lived in a chair. And is dependent on others for most everything. And he'd wake up every morning and he'd say, I don't know how I can be so happy living in this chair, but I am. I'm so joyful. I'm just so happy. Because he lived under an open heaven in that season. And you remain joyful regardless of the circumstances. Our countenance will actually change because his countenance will shine upon us. Just like Moses came down from the mountain glowing, we can glow. Because we've seen him and we walk with him. Does it mean we'll never have a trial? No. Wish I could say it did, but no. In this world, you will have tribulations. We talked about that. We will. Can we still live under an open heaven in a time of trial?
Yes.
Yes. It's the thing that will cause people to inquire of the hope that's within us when they see us in the hard times. Say, how do you do that? How in the world do you do that? We must steward his presence, however. You know, things don't get better if they're not taken care of. If you just ignore things. If I don't dust every once in a while, my house deteriorates before my eyes, right? We can't just assume it's always going to be there if we don't steward it. If we don't do what's right. If we don't pray, if we don't worship, if we don't seek him, if we don't make him our priority, if we don't say, God, I want you and nothing but you. Take away from me the things of this world. Make me not want any of it anymore. You know, on Tuesday night, we talked about God called us out of the world, cleaned us up so he could send us back into the world. But we have to steward the presence of God. We have to be serious about it. We have to see it as a treasure. But he wants to bring us to the place where we're aware that we live under an open heaven. Spirit, come down. Make your will known. Tear down walls. Give us life. Help us to live in that place. Are you headed to the keyboard? Okay, good. I've got one more scripture, then we'll sing, then we'll pray. Turn to Revelation 19. There's a day coming when everybody is going to see the heavens rent open. Everybody, not just us. Revelation 19:11. After that, I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse appeared. The one who was riding it is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. And he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness, holiness, justice, and uprightness. His eyes blaze like a flame of fire, and on his head are many kingly crowns, and he has a title name inscribed which he alone knows or can understand. He's dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called, the Word of God. And the troops of heaven, clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, followed him on white horses. And from his mouth goes forth a sharp sword with which he can smite the nations, and he will shepherd and control them with a staff of iron. He will tread the winepress of fierceness of the wrath and indignation of God. And on his garment and on his thigh he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then I saw a single angel stationed in the sun's light, and with a mighty voice he shouted to all the birds that fly across the sky, come, gather yourselves together for the marriage supper of God. Every eye will see the heavens rent open. Not everyone will go to the marriage supper, and that is why he sends us under open heavens with gifts working, with love to bring to others, so that they too will see this last rending of heaven.
Break our walls down. You are here, sweet Jesus, working in our midst. Keep working, Jesus. Keep working, Jesus. Keep working, Jesus. We yield to you. Keep working, Jesus. Jesus, we need you. Keep working. Keep working. Father, we want more of your glory. We want more of your abiding presence. Jesus, we want you in our midst. 1,440 seconds of every day. You are the creator of our time. We want your glory to fill every second of it. Holy Spirit, we invite you into every place of our lives to do the work you were created to do in us. Spirit of God, stir mightily in us so that we become the created sons and daughters of God, revived, restored, transformed, and reformed in the image and likeness of Father, Son, and Spirit, the way you made us before we turned our back on you. Father, tonight we turn our face toward you, and we thank you that your face has always been toward us. Give us more of you, Lord. Give us more of you. Fill us to overflowing so glory flows through us and those around us see the flames of your presence burning in us and ask what it is about us. Lord, I decree tonight that everyone hearing this message will be an open portal of your glory, and they will be vessels of your glory, and signs and wonders and miracles will accompany them. We surrender our all to you. Lord, we count it as dung. It is nothing. All of the things we've accumulated, all of the things we've longed for, fall short of the glory of your presence. Lord, manifest your presence out of your glory in our hearts, in our souls, and in our bodies. As you step into open heavens, as you become one who lives open under an open heaven, you're not going to watch the clock. You won't care if it's quarter to or quarter after, just as long as you are in his quarter. You want to know why signs, wonders, and miracles happen so much overseas? Because they don't watch the clock. They watch the King. And when the King is moving, they don't care whether they walk home in the dark. Yes, they walk miles just to be in the presence of the Lord. Father, I decree tonight over every man, woman, and child listening, they will embrace the Lordship of Jesus Christ before the Revelation 19 opening of heaven. I say, Lord, let them become the very vessel you created them to be, to carry your glory into places where only they can carry you. And I say, Father, pour them out and then welcome them back to get more of you, in Jesus' name. For those of you who are in the house, there will be refreshments next door, but don't forget you got your kids in the nursery. I would like to extend this meeting. I want to see people healed with the revelation we got this week. I've seen people get healed by it already. Could you hand me the sheet inside my Bible? You can sit down for a minute. I'm going to teach you for about 2 minutes, and then I want to pray over you. And for those of you on the web, the key to this message is your ears. Thank you. Many of us are familiar with Psalm 91. In verse 3 and verse 6, it talks about how the Lord will keep us from pestilence. But in verse 6, there's a word translated as destruction. Verse 6 reads, "Nor the pestilence which stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction and sudden death which surprise and lay waste at noon." There's a little three-letter Hebrew word which ends in bait, which makes it very important for this year, that's translated as destruction. That Hebrew word is Q-E-T-E-B. Q-E-T-E-B. Keteb. It's translated as destruction, and in my lexicon, it says it's an ancient Hebrew root. But this past Wednesday, we heard a gentleman who has a lexicon that's better than mine. I'm about to get it. It is the HAL, H-A-L, Hebrew Aramaic lexicon, and it takes the Hebrew words back to their Aramaic root. Do you know that the Bible was written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic? Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees, so Chaldean is the Aramaic tongue that it was written in. Keteb means to cut off, to ruin, to destroy. But Keteb comes from that ancient Aramaic word, which means the demon behind all plagues and pestilence which would strike the earth. It's the name for a demon that's powerful. And when you're in open heavens, there is no separation. It was defeated by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. You cannot pray against a demon. You must speak with the authority bait. This is the year of the authority of the Son's voice coming out of you. In a pay decade, the decade of the face, the decade of the mouth. God is not a respecter of persons. He will use you the same as He will use me or a four-year-old child who will speak with His grace and authority. Speak to the person face to face. Ken Fish is the rabbi, teacher, evangelist, deliverance worker who got this revelation from the Lord. He's seen 150 to 170 people that He's decreed this over get set free completely from every COVID symptom. Some instantaneous, some within 3 to 4 days, because Keteb is behind the pestilence we've called COVID, and every other. Every form of autoimmune disease, every form of illness that comes from pestilence and plague. Only one person he's prayed for has not recovered. I've seen two people healed within 24 hours or instantaneously. Because God honors his word when we take authority to put our foot down on the mouth of the enemy who is accusing. He has had people take cell phones into ICU units and put them up to the ear of the person who was unconscious, and within 24 hours they were healed. This is how the word of God works. So if you would like me to pray over you now, I will pray over all of us, but you can put the individual's name in. And I will not have this sent to everyone, only those who individually ask the secretary to send it to them. I will send her my notes, so you've got them. They're not as powerful as the blood of Jesus, but they'll help you learn what you've got to say. So they're not going out to anyone except those who are serious enough to, with authority, start to speak in the open heaven you are. In the name and by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, I break the power of Keteb off of anyone who is dealing with any form of COVID-19 or COVID whatever number they want to call it, or whatever alphanumeric name they want to call it. I say, Keteb, you have been defeated by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, and you have no authority in their bodies. You have no authority anymore. I say it especially over those on the internet who you know now. I won't say their names so people won't contact trace them and harass them. I say, Keteb, break your hold off of them and come out. Your hold is broken now. I decree healing over their bodies, over their sinuses, over their brains. I say, no more brain fog. Keteb, you must go. I say, no more sinus and throat problems. Keteb, you must go. I say, no more digestive problems. Keteb, you must go. I say, no more affecting the spleen, the liver, and the kidneys. Keteb, you must go. I say, intestines are healed. Keteb, you must go. You have no authority and no place in them. I command Keteb to go, and I say in its place, let the healing and the abundant life Jesus won on the cross now be made manifest in and through their bodies. And Father, I say, let your glory be made manifest to and through your sons and daughters. Send them to be your ambassadors and to take authority over the spirit which will try to seduce, beguile, and lie to those around them. I decree life and abundant life in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for allowing us to gather. I thank you for speaking to us. And I say, send your sons and daughters out, armed with your word, authoritatively graced with the blood of the cross, and dangerous to every demonic entity, in Jesus' name. I love you all. Have a blessed week. Remember to get your kids, because we kept you extra long.